As some of you caught maybe it as Jeff was mentioning it, but we do want to congratulate Megan on her engagement and an exciting new beginning of a short temporary phase until marriage. She's excited about that with Dustin. And so you do pray for Megan just as God continues to prepare her to be the godly wife that God wants her to be to Dustin. And for Dustin, as he's about men, you know what we're talking about, don't you? As he's about to take on a new, exciting role of leadership to Megan in just that exciting time. So you be praying for Megan and Dustin as they prepare for this phase of life. Let me grab my hymnal. We sang it this morning, number 360. You can turn back there if you want to with me. I wanted to read through some of these words. 360. He giveth more grace when our burden grows greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he added his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. And we see that in Joshua's life when God consistently reminds him, be strong and of a good courage, be not dismayed, neither be thou dismayed, trust me. Verse 2 goes on and it says, when we have exhausted our store of endurance. You ever hit that wall before? You know, you can only do so much, you can only pull your bootstraps up so long until you just can't do it. It's not just by pulling them up a little harder. But it says, when we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, ere the day is half done. Like, we know there's more and we can't go on. When we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only what? Begun. And that's what God reminds Joshua in Joshua chapter 8. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his what? Infinite riches in Jesus. He giveth and giveth and giveth again. Joshua chapter 8 verse 1, we're reminded of that truth. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee and arise. Go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. Our God is the God of the impossible and can do great things. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. We ask, one, that our hearts would be open and tender as we open up your word, that you would do a work that only you can do. God, we ask that you would do that great work in our hearts and our lives. God, challenge us, maybe convict us of sin. Challenge us, strengthen us to press on in your power today through the difficulties of life that you call us to go through. We thank you that you care, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you remember back, it's been a couple weeks, but in Joshua chapter 7, we see that there was some defeat in Ai. The men went up, they viewed the land, and they said, oh, this is a piece of cake. This is easy. This is something we can take easily. They only sent, I believe it was 3,000 men, and they went up to battle, and they went to take Ai. But if you remember back, there was great defeat there. In fact, 36 men lost their lives. 36 families were felt the effect of Achan's sin. Because Achan had taken from Jericho that which God said was his. Not to take from God. And Achan had taken it and he had hid it and he claimed it as his own and he buried it and he tried to cover his own sin and yet he was pointed out when what he saw he coveted and he wanted and he took. And there was great defeat. And so here they are, the end of chapter 7, and there was great defeat, and there was punishment for sin, consequences for sin. But God wasn't through with the children of Israel. And we're reminded that, as we said a couple weeks ago, my sin is wicked. But we're reminded that as much as my sin is wicked, my God is forgiving. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not just simply when we confess our sin, if sometime I choose to or when I'm going to, it's a choice we have to make. We could try to bury it, as Achan did, and cause defeat to our family and those around us. But God still is alive and working and works in spite of sin as we confess and forsake. And I'm reminded as we look at Joshua chapter 8 that you will be blessed by God after you address and deal with sin. How many of us have sin in our lives? And our sin is what? Wicked. We talked about that. My sin is wicked. But when I deal with my sin before God, confess and forsake and say, God, I need you. I can't do this. When I deal with my sin, whatever that may be, God wants to work in my life and through my life and empower me, one, to have victory over that sin, but two, to go on into those areas and aspects of life that God has called me to go on into. Does God have a plan for your life? Or is it only a plan for Megan's life? And only a plan for young people as they go through these phases of life? No, God has a plan for all of our lives. And your plan may look different than someone else's plan. And you say, well, I don't have these big occupational choices. And maybe you do. Or you say, I don't have these big decisions I'm making right now as some of the young people would be making. But God has a plan and we must follow Him through each step. And as I confess my sin and forsake that, God blesses and leads in my life and empowers. He giveth more strength, giveth more grace as the day goes on, as we go through life. But in order for us to take God's power to continue on as we've dealt with sin and go on into this next phase of life, we're reminded of three ideas that we need to do. Number one, we need to pause for God to speak. Pause for God to speak. As Joshua's here and they're waiting, what do we do now, God? There's been this great defeated Ai, this small little town, nothing like Jericho, and yet we had great loss. How do we go on from here? And that's where God does the speaking. As we spend time, as we get right with God, how do we then wait and pause for God to speak to us? By spending time in His Word and letting Him speak to us. And that's what we see in chapter 8, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not. Do you think he had some fear after that great defeat? And what are we going to do? God said, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil shall ye take for prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. Pause for God to speak. The idea for pause is to make a short stop, to break from speaking or action. Have you ever tried to tell someone something and they just won't pause? You know, you want to respond, they ask you a question, and you go to try to respond, and they just keep talking. Have you ever said, hey, I tried to answer you, but you wouldn't let me talk? As we have a conversation, as we communicate with people, it requires pausing and speaking on both parties' behalf, doesn't it? You ever tried to text someone? You have a text conversation, right? How many of you like to text, right? And you have a texting conversation going, and someone asks you a question, and so you're typing out the answer, but before you even finish it, they sent you a different question, and so you respond, and then it's like, now, are they going to see that as a response to the first question or the second? I mean, and sometimes it gets confusing because there's not a pause. And in life, we've got to pause for God to speak. We need to take time out of our busy schedules, out of our busy days, for God to speak. As we're reminded here, as God spoke to Joshua, He really reminded him, trust God and don't be afraid. That as we go through life, we can trust God and not be afraid. The word fear, it says, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. The word fear means is basically a painful emotion which is excited or brought on by an expectation of evil or struggle. And sometimes that expectation is something we make up in our mind. Right? That's what worry is. We just mull something over in our mind and see all of the bad that could possibly happen from this situation. And worry causes us to what? Fear. Joshua could have justified worry in his life and fear. Because here they just went to this smaller town to take, as God had called them to conquer the land. They went to the smaller town to take it, and there was defeat. Now, how do we go on from here? How do we rally these people and say, we can do it? Well, as they were going to take this next step in life, he took time for God to say, trust me, don't be afraid. Once again, we're reminded of that. I think of the song Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Whoa, wait a second. You ever think about that second verse there? 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. So my heart is supposed to fear, and grace my fears relieved. So I don't have to fear. Well, again, that fear of God, that reverential fear of God is holy and awesome. And one, I won't be like Achan and take that sin and spoil into my life. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear God. God is watching. There's a song our kids like to listen to with Patch the Pirate. God's already watching. You're already caught. People don't know what's going on in our lives, but God knows, as Achan found that out. And the reality that sin, and there was punishment, there were consequences, but God's not waiting with a billy club just to destroy life and destroy us. He loves us, and He's forgiving. And He's reminding Joshua, fear not. My grace, my mercy is real. And that second verse of Amazing Grace, and grace my fears relieved. He could trust because God was real. He could trust that God had a plan for them. And as we go through life, we can just trust God's plan is real and He cares about us. Trust God and don't be afraid as you present and as you come into this next phase of whatever God's calling you to do. And did you know God's calling you to go into Monday? You know, a lot of people say, oh, it's Monday again. I remember working for McDonald's and Monday mornings was my day in back cash and I'd get to take orders and enjoyed that aspect. But people are like, it's Monday again. I mean, so many people, it's Monday. But God has called us to go into Monday. Unless we die and go to glory, if you know Jesus as Savior, you're going into Monday. Don't be afraid. You don't have to fear your Monday. Oh, I don't want to get up and go and do my regular stuff, whether it's school or work or, man, that's coming. We don't have to be afraid. We pause and listen to God and see what He has to say. Joshua 1, verses 6 through 9. We read verses 5 through 9 earlier this morning. But once again, God was reminding Joshua, fear not. In fact, as he started his ministry, as he started this next phase of life of leadership, verse 6 said, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. I've promised, I'll do it. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. It's very interesting, as God is telling Joshua to be strong and to trust as I will bring you through, He's reminding him the importance of what? God's Word. Remember we memorized that verse? He says, that word, or observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. It's all about God's Word, the priority of God's Word. And then this is where we memorized it. Let's say it together. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Why did they struggle to feed it Ai? Was it because they weren't strong enough and they didn't bring enough men? No, it's because they didn't keep the priority of God's Word. Achan. Now, there's a lot of us here. Did you know my sin affects your life and your sin affects all of our lives as well? Our sin affects each other. Why isn't God doing at Jeruel what we want to see God do and what God wants to do? Is it the sin in my life? See, God's going on and saying, you don't have to be afraid. You deal with your sin. Now you will be prosperous. I will make your way prosperous as you take that time and listen to me. Pause for God to speak. You don't have to be afraid. Trust God. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Not so we can go conquer the world and we're it, but so we can have God's power, one, to have victory over that sin, but two, to go on in that phase that God has called us to live life. For some of you, again, that's school tomorrow. God has called you to live that. So don't go into it like, I don't want to do it. Because you'll go into adulthood and those phases of life, and I don't want to do it. We all have times we don't want to do what God's called us to do, don't we? All of us. But we can go on in God's power and we don't have to be afraid of that time. It's interesting, not just being afraid, we can trust God and not be afraid. But then that word that was also used that God told Joshua in verse 1, fear not, neither be thou what? Dismayed. The word dismayed means disheartened, lacking courage. Now, didn't God say in Joshua 1, be of a good courage and go on? Be of a good courage. Dismayed is broken down by confusion and fear. Do you ever feel that way? You're confused. God, what are you doing in my life? Why have you allowed this? I don't understand. The situation just doesn't seem like I can go through it. Broken down by confusion and fear. And sometimes that fear, that's a real fear, but we let it control us and break us down. So I just can't go on. Because I don't enjoy this phase. This test, I know I'm going to botch it. We go in, you know, you have people say when you plan that you're going to fail, you probably will. And as we go through different phases of life, as I plan that, man, I'm not going to do good. We probably won't. But it's more than that. I've got to not just let those fears control me, but trust God and not be afraid. Not be broken down by those fears. Because we all have fears. Every one of us, don't we, men? Now, we know the ladies have fears, right? I mean, because ladies are more easily shared. But sometimes us, as men, we try to hide those. But don't we have fears? We do. Teens, your parents have fears too. And these are things we have to deal with. But we can trust God, but we've got to pause for Him to speak and listen to Him. Take time out of your busy schedule. It's not just a Sunday morning. So we got to listen to God speak. One, there's reasons we get together as a church family throughout the day on Sunday and even on Wednesday, and we have other options with a Bible study on Tuesday and BLC for the kids on Wednesday and the teen group. But it's more than that. You and I need to pause for God to speak daily. Don't we pause to eat? We take time. I mean, we may get so busy that sometimes our meal gets pushed off by a few hours, right? We normally eat at this time, but man, I just got so busy. And sometimes it's like, I just got so busy, I'm not even hungry anymore. But the next day we pause to eat, don't we? And if we don't pause to eat food, we'll get sick. We won't have the strength to go on. And if we don't pause to make a priority of God's word, we won't have His power to go on. Pause for God to speak. Don't be afraid. Trust God. Don't be afraid. Trust God and claim the victory. That's what God is reminding Joshua here. Verse 2. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. God said, I will give you victory. I've called you to this. You will have my power to go on. But it was a little bit of sin that got in the way. There's a little break for that, but now it's been dealt with and taken care of, and God says, you can have the victory because I am giving it to you. Now, at this point, God calls all of the men of war to go, didn't He? I mean, verse 1. He told Joshua, take all the people of war with thee and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. Trust God and claim the victory. It's all about God. Tomorrow, you can claim that it's not just Monday, but I can live victoriously because of God. Anybody else say sometimes when your alarm goes off, I don't want to get up? We can get up because of God. Not just because I'm tired or, man, I slept good, I've got all the sleep I need. We can go on to that next phase, not just because I feel good. Emotions can deceive us. Because remember in chapter 7, emotions said they were going to have victory over Ai, didn't they? Because it was a small city, and man, we only need these many men of war, and we can take this. Emotions can deceive us, but God never does. And God said here, trust me and claim the victory. I am giving it to you. watching what God is going to do. Joshua chapter 10, verse 25. Joshua 10, verse 25. Here we see again later, and remember, this book is really about this new phase of life. And what we're talking about is as we grow together as a church family, this new phase of life as a church family. And they're going in through this and growing in one step in one area, and they're growing together. Verse 25 of chapter 10. And Joshua said unto them, "Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of a good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight." Now, who had to tell Joshua that multiple times? God did. And then Joshua told the people. Like, he got it. Like, hey, we can trust God. Aren't you thankful we can trust God for the Monday? And for is in your life this week, maybe there's a meeting you're not looking forward to this week. Maybe there's a test. Maybe there's a homework assignment that's due, and it's just like, oh, I don't want to do this. You know, I remember even in college, there were some of those homework assignments I didn't want to do, and it was due on Friday, and so I guess I better start it, and it's Thursday night, because I at least have to turn something in. But sometimes we let those fears distract us from doing what we should do, and taking God's strength and living victoriously. Let's live victoriously this week by pausing for God to speak to us and trusting Him and not being afraid, trusting Him for the victory He's called us to live in life. Proverbs 3, 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. 6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. And we often stop at those two verses. Verse 7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. There is blessing when we deal with our sin and we, yes, acknowledge God, but as we're not wise in our own eyes, but departing, fearing the Lord and departing from evil. Pausing to let God speak to us, to point out the sin in our lives. Pausing to let God speak to us, to encourage us and strengthen us is, how am I going to make it through today, God? God, you already know what this week looks like. And I don't know how I can deal with it. This and this and that and the other. And that's only Tuesday. Sometimes life gets overwhelming. Now, some things we have to say no to, but others we have to go through. Some things aren't choices. And so as we go through that, be strong and of a good courage. Pause. And let God speak to your heart, encourage you, strengthen you to trust Him. But don't just pause and let God speak to you. Prepare for God to work. It's one thing to get up in the morning and to pause and spend time reading the Bible. But what did that do for you? How are you going to apply that to your life today? Are you going to even think about it? Are you going to prepare for the day? It's interesting, we see back in Joshua chapter 8, that Joshua had a plan. Prepare for God to work by having a plan. So you know you don't like Mondays, and you're exhausted, and you don't want to get up. Maybe you should pull your clothes out the night before. You know you've got a test, and you hate taking a test in that class. Maybe you should study and pray, God, help me. You ever prayed, God, would you help me with this because I don't want to do it? I don't, whether it's a sin, God, I don't want to. I'm struggling with my emotions, and I don't want to change. I've been there. God, I'm struggling with this aspect and I don't want to go on, but can you help me? Would you change the way I think? God will help us. But have a plan for God to work. In chapter 8, verse 3, we see that. God, one, gave Joshua this plan. But verse 3, we see, so Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose out 30,000 men of valor and sent them away by night. Joshua had this plan before the rest of them had the plan. As you and I go through this week to live victoriously before God, to claim His power, to have victory over sin, to claim His power, to have victory in life for Him as we obey those aspects of life He's called us to go into and to go through. We prepare for Him to work. We make a plan. The word plan means to scheme or form a design in your mind. Now, sometimes when we think the word scheme, we think of something bad, right? He's scheming how to do that to me or whatever. Man, my brother just constantly schemes to do it. Well, how can he get me? Well, the idea for this word scheme is not just a negative aspect, but that positive aspect, to form in your mind a plan. So if you're going to play a trick on someone, you plan it out, hopefully so it works right. If you're going to take a driver's test and pass, you plan. Red octagonal sign means good. At least some of us remember that. We make a plan. Right? And so, yes, some of these things we have plans because we know we've got to do it. But as you go through life, how is your Monday going to look? You don't like Monday. You struggle with that, or you struggle with another day, or you struggle with another aspect of plan ahead. I don't know about your house, but Sunday mornings are a struggle in our house. Anybody else? Like, it's tough to get to church. It is. It is tough to get to church. And I'm the pastor. I mean, I understand what it's tough. I mean, we can get up. It doesn't matter. We can get going. It doesn't matter what time. And it's like, why is it still this time? We said, I mean, all these things. One of the things that my wife has done to help with that is she pulls out all the clothes on Saturday night. And man, that helps. It doesn't make everything easy, but it helps. And we like to have a plan of, okay, so what are we going to eat for breakfast? And what are we going to eat for lunch when we come back? So that in the morning we're not have all this extra stuff to try to do in the middle of it. It still doesn't necessarily make it easy, but it makes it easier. As God has helped to plan. And so that's how we've got to live in life, in every phase of life. We must make a plan and have a plan to go on. How will I go through this aspect? When you fail to plan, you essentially what? Fail. You're planning to fail. It's been said, if you fail to plan, you essentially plan to fail. I don't want to plan to fail, but it takes just a little bit of time to make a plan. And that's something I've been challenged with, not just to get ready for Sunday mornings or for church on Sunday nights. Not just so that, man, it's not crazy to get ready for church on Wednesday night or this aspect of life. And all there's always going to be tough things. We wouldn't trade our kids for anything. But kids help you know you've got to plan a little bit more, right? But as we go through life, planning every aspect. Yes, we can't plan for everything. Some of you might be like that. I've got to know what's going on Tuesday at 3:30. And then Thursday, I've got a little block of time. What am I going to do? Some people go through life and they've got to have everything scheduled out and planned. And granted, we can't do that. But we need to have a plan of how am I going to go through this next day, this phase of life? How is this going to look? Or it will never get done. Have you looked back at your life and you've had some goals and maybe it was a house project or maybe it was something else. Yep, I've got to do this. I want to do this and I got to get that done. 5 years later, I want to do this. I've got to get this done and I've got to do that. Because we don't make a what? I'm guilty of that. Joshua has a plan that God had given him and then that he is sharing with these people and these individuals. He's presenting his plan. Verses 4 through 8, we see that he's presenting this plan. He doesn't just keep it for himself. Now, there are some things as we go through life that God calls only you to go through. And it may not even, as much as it may affect your spouse or your kids, you've got to deal with it. Sometimes it's important to share, this is the plan, this is what I believe God wants me to do and how he wants me to accomplish it, and how I'm going to get here. Fears can control us. And if we don't plan to have victory over our emotions will have victory over us. If I don't plan to have victory over whatever sin it is, God's strength, of course, but if I don't plan how I'm going to do it, it will just empower, just come over me, and I'll yield to that. And yet we're reminded in Romans chapter 6 and 7 and 8 that I don't have to just let sin reign over me. If I know Jesus Christ as Savior, I'm free from sin because he that's dead doesn't sin anymore. And I'm saved, so I'm dead to sin. Why do I still live it there longer? And yet, we can plan to take God's strength. You know what you struggle with the most? Then you plan, okay, so when this comes up, and you look and say, man, I know what sets me off. Whether it's the fear or whether it's the other emotion or the action, I know what sets me off. Don't you know what gets you going? What causes, what helps to bring about your sinful behavior? We all tend to know that. Sometimes we don't like to admit it. But when I know it, then I can make a plan. Okay, God, when this happens, would you help me to think about your word? Memorizing specific scripture passages to go with it, because God's word must be priority. And we'll see that at the end of this chapter. Yes, we pause for God to speak, and we plan for God to work, but it's for God to work, not just me to do it. Presenting our plan to others, you aren't alone in doing God's will. And so verse 4, and he commanded them, saying, behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready, and I and all the people that are with thee. And so he's sharing his plan of how are we going to have victory that God has promised to us. But there was a plan, not just God said it, it's going to happen. But he had a plan. And he's presenting that. And so in detail, as you read through this, you see the plan that they've got. We see in verse 10, and Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people. Some had already gone out. 30,000 had already gone out. They hid behind the city. Here in verse 10, Joshua rose up early in the morning and numbered the people and went up. He and the elders of Israel before the people, the Ai, and all the people, even the people of war that were with him, went up and drew nigh and came before the city and pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai. He took about 5,000 men and set them to lie in ambush between Bethel and Ai. And so he's setting this up. The plan, they've already shared the plan. He's presented that plan. But now he's working that plan. Have you ever had a good plan that, I mean, it looked good on paper and then you never did anything about it? Man, this research paper that I've got to do, I remember my freshman year of college, the English teacher, she would tell you, if you start now and you work this plan, you'll have no problem to have your research paper done on time. The week before, I'm typing away rapidly. But we do that sometimes. We have a good plan. Man, that looks good. I'm going to do that. And sometimes when I just rely on my own strength, I just can't do it. Pause for God to speak and let him work. Prepare for God to work. So yes, make a plan, but then you've got to just put a little action to that, or we'll never accomplish that plan. For our family, man, and you know, parents with young kids, it's tough to get to Sunday school, isn't it? I mean, it is tough to get to where we're coming on time, and how do we do this? And okay, so we've got a plan. You've got to at least try to work that plan. And make a goal of how, okay, this is we've got to leave by this time. And sometimes we'll say, we've got to leave by this time because that still gives us 10 minutes to leave the house. I mean, you make a plan that there will be some bumps in the road. And so the plan here that they are working all out so that God can work. Joshua doesn't know exactly how this battle is going to play out. God gave him a plan and said, do this and have these here and take all of them and work it out. But here he's working and saying, okay, God, I'm going to work this plan, but God, you've got to do the rest. Do what you've called me to do. And as Joshua's working this plan, he's had a plan, he's presented that plan, he's working this plan, but the thing throughout the whole thing is he's depending upon God to bless this plan. Look at verse 7. Then ye shall rise up from the ambush and seize upon the city. For the Lord your God will what? Deliver it into your hand. Verse 8. And it shall be, when ye have taken the city, that ye shall set the city on fire, according to the what? Commandment of the Lord shall ye do. See, I have commanded you. He's depending upon God to do what God has said he'll do. God's promised he's already in your Monday. He's already in your tomorrow. There's a song that says, he's already in your tomorrow. He's walking one step ahead. Whether in joy or in sorrow, he'll do just what he said. He'll never leave you lonely. He'll never leave us alone. He's walking one step ahead. Aren't you thankful? And the reality is, he's not just one step ahead. He knows our future all the way. When he's promised to lead, he will. As he's promised to bring us through this next phase of life, he will. And so we make a plan. God, I want you to work. God, would you help me to trust you as I do these things? Depending on God to work. Remember Proverbs 3:5? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct thy paths. But it went on and said, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Depending on God to work. Not just the plan that he wants us to make, but depending on God to work. Doing it God's way. They tried, and they thought what they were doing was right the first time at the Battle of Ai. But Achan's sin got in the way. And as we go through life, we can try and make good, pretty good stabs at what we think we're supposed to accomplish. And sometimes it turns out okay. God is merciful. I don't want God to just be merciful and allow something to turn out right. I want God's power. So that when I go through tomorrow and whatever else, other day and other system and setting and whatever it may be, that God is glorified. And that his power makes it way better than I could happen to come across. And we see that they've gone through this. They paused for God to speak. They prepared for God to work. And yet they proclaimed God's glory. They went through this battle. They did all these things and worked that plan. And in verse 21, and when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again and slew the men of Ai. And the other issued out of the city against them. So they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side and some on that side. And they smote them so that they let none of them remain or escape. And the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. And continues on in the victory that God had given them. Verse 25, and so it was that all that fell that day, both of men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Because that's what God said to do. When God calls you to do something, do it all the way. Taking God's strength, doing it with a plan that hopefully you besought God for, and then proclaim God's glory. See, Joshua did all this. Verse 27, only the cattle and the spoil of that city Israel took for a prey unto themselves, according unto the word of the Lord, which he commanded Joshua. And Joshua burnt Ai and made it in heat forever, and even a desolation unto this day. He'd obeyed. So what did they do then? Yes, they obeyed. They obeyed God fully. Verse 30, then Joshua built and what? Unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man hath lift up any iron, and they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. Proclaim God's glory. Aren't you excited? That is, God has called us to go through this phase of life, whether it's junior high or high school or college or the situation that's going to happen this week, or it's Monday, that we can go through victoriously and look back and say, look what God did. It was Monday and I didn't even have a bad hair day. Goofy things. We go through and it's like, wow, God did that on my Monday. God did that when I didn't think I could get through. Remember that song that we looked at? He giveth and giveth and giveth again. When my strength is over, what can I do? God did it. The children of Israel, they tried it in their own might. But now they can look back and say, God did it. They proclaimed God's glory and they did it God's way. It was very specific. Verse 31 said, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses. They did it according to the word of God. They glorified God, God's way, not their own way. So many times people try to glorify God in their way. We'll do it our way. If it makes us feel good, it must be worship. Feelings don't mean worship unless we do it God's way. God is holy. God is just. There are reasons for our what would be called our worship music in our church. There are reasons we don't use certain types of music for worship, because that's not worship. We don't come down and on Sunday morning just to listen to all these John Philip Sousa's marching band songs as we go along and think about it. It may make us feel good, but that's not worship. The same with many other styles of music. We have to do it God's way. And how do we know what does God want for our music? Or how do we know what God wants for the way we dress and live? Or how do we know what God wants for this aspect of worship in life? Pausing for God to speak. You say, well, it's just circular. It is. As I take time to pause for God to speak, He's going to work, and then I'll glorify God His way and listen to Him as He continues moving me on. That's how you and I will go through life. That's how you 13-year-olds will know how to go to college someday and where and who to marry. By pausing for God to speak. By having that plan, preparing for God to work. And then by going on and giving God the glory. Proclaiming God's glory. You say, but I don't want to go to school this week. But that's what God has called you to. So do it with all your might, God's way. I don't want to go to work tomorrow, but that's what God has called you to. I don't want to face this trial. That's what God has allowed you to go through and called you to go through. And as you do that, you pause for God to speak. You prepare for God to work, and you proclaim God's glory. You know how they did that? They gathered together with other believers here. This wasn't just something Joshua did with his leaders. Said, hey, God was good. But look what they did in verse 32. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. It was together publicly. Why do we get together on Sundays and Wednesdays? It's a public time we get to worship God. We don't simply go to church so we can learn from God's word. And we should learn from God's word. But I've been so challenged. As I preach, yes, I'm worshiping God, but you should be too by letting God speak to your heart. It's not simply about learning about God. It's about worshiping God. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. While you're sitting there, it's all to the glory of God. While I'm standing here, and that's what intimidates me, it better be for the glory of God. This whole service, we call our 11 o'clock Sunday morning service our what? Worship service. Well, then it had better all be worship. From the singing, from the time we shake our hands with each other and greet others, from the time our kids go downstairs, and from the rest of the time that we're sitting here. This is your act of worship to God. God, we think high enough of your word that we want to hear it. God, we think high enough of your word that we want you to be magnified so that we can go tomorrow and have a Monday for you. And that we can go through whatever you called us to do so that you can be glorified. They did that together, God's way, according to God's word, as believers together. That's why we gather together on Sunday mornings. And why we encourage you to come with us and do it again on Sunday nights. And even Wednesday nights as we just pop in for a break from the week. So we can worship God. And some of the neat things we do in the auditorium, learning about some of our missionaries and some of those other things, we do it together. We grow together by giving God glory together. And that's what the children of Israel were doing together, publicly. Setting aside time. They could have just gone on and said, another day, let's make the next plan. We're going to keep going on for God. But they took time out to worship God. Yes, we can have we can spend time with God today in church and man, this is exciting. And Monday, man, tomorrow you could have the best Monday you've had and go on and just say, I'm going to do that with Tuesday. And if we don't take time to pause for God to speak and prepare for God to work and then publicly proclaim God's glory, what's going to happen Tuesday? Maybe we'll have a little bit of steam left over from Sunday that didn't all get burned up on Monday, and so we can do it on Tuesday. But that steam only lasts so long. Sundays is not just your fill up for the week. It should be the dessert on top of the meals you've been eating every day spiritually from God's word. This is like cake time. The rest of it is you spending time with God, working, so that God can work through you, and so that God will be glorified in Munith, and in Stockbridge, and in Jackson, and in Lansing, wherever our paths will bring us this week. Because we have spent time with God, not simply at church, not simply at church with God, but every day pausing for God to work. And as they did this, they made God's Word a priority. That's why we open God's Word at church. Because God's Word is a priority. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. But look at verse 34. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones, and the strangers that were conversant among them. It's okay for the unsaved that you bump shoulders with to know that God's Word is a priority in your life. It's okay for your kids to stumble in while you're doing your devotions sometime. It's okay to talk about God and His Word around dinner time, lunchtime. Maybe text it with someone. Maybe you've got grown kids that you text back and forth. It's okay for you to text God's Word to them. Maybe you've got younger kids who still live in your house that you're communicating with via text. It's okay to let them know God's Word is a priority. Because when God's Word fails to be a priority, our life doesn't turn out as we'd hoped. And even as God had planned, God can work in spite of that. Because we're reminded of 1 John 1:9, and we're thankful for that. I'm thankful for 1 John 1:9, aren't you? But I don't want to constantly live 1 John 1:9. I want to constantly live Joshua 1:8. Then thou shalt have good success. Not in my eyes, but doing what God has called me to do. And that you can always have the best Monday of your life. And that you can always go through whatever that next step and phase of life is, giving God glory. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. He cannot fail. His Word is true. We're trusting Him. He'll see us through. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. That's how we should live our lives. Because as Joshua and the men of Israel and the children of Israel experienced at Ai the second time, they were reminded that God is good. Whatever you're going through this week, would you pause for God to speak? It requires a little bit of quiet time. Sometimes that's tough to get, isn't it? Especially if you've got kids in the house or whatever else it is. But pause for God to speak. And listen to Him through His Word. Would you prepare for God to work then? God, You have spoken to my heart through Your Word this morning in my devotions. And God, I sure want You to do this, but I know I've got to get rid of this sin and I've got to take care of this. God, would You help me to do that? Would You help me to plan for victory over this? And then proclaim God's glory. He is worthy of worship and worthy of praise.